So we're holding on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. We said in our Mishnah that chametz of a goy that Pesach is over and the chametz is still there is mutter b'hana, whereas chametz of a Jew that over all of a Pesach, that Pesach passed and it was in a Jew's possession, is also b'hana. As it says in the Pasuk, lo yirah l'cho chametz. So now we brought a braisa that had three different opinions on the subject of chametz before and during and after Pesach. We had Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who says that all three times there's a lav involved. If you eat chametz on Erev Pesach from the sixth hour of the day, or then there's a lav. Chametz during Pesach itself, there's a lav and kores. Chametz after Pesach, meaning chametz over all of our Pesach, there would be a lav. Then we had Reb Shimon saying that only during Pesach itself is there a lav and kores. Before Pesach, on Erev Pesach from 6 hours, and after Pesach, chametz shor olav Pesach, there's no lav at all. The expression Reb Shimon had used is ain't over olav b'loy klum. He's not over on anything. And we talked about the various possibilities that Rishonim say that does Reb Shimon agree that it is also to eat. Maybe on the grounds of Tashbisu, but he would say that it's Mutar Bahana. Would it maybe be according to the Baal HaMor, he even allows you to eat it because you can accomplish Tashbisu that way itself. Whatever the case, that was Reb Shimon. And then we had Reb Yosi Aglili saying that Bechlal, Chometz is not even Osa Bahana, even during Pesach itself. So and we went through in a bit of detail what each of them uses as the basis for their opinion. So now that we talked about that, now we have to ask Mani Masnissin. As far as Rabbi Yosi Aglili, by the way, we didn't really deal with his opinion in detail over here, where he gets his opinion from, because we dealt with it earlier in the perek when we had the whole sugya about things that are also ba'achila and also ba'hana. We mentioned in that connection Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion. And we said over there that he would say that since after all the Torah only that the Torah says lo ye ochel, it should not be eaten, then we said so he says that actually even though it says lo ye ochel and that should mean an isur hana, but we said that he said on the other hand, since the pasuk says locha, then it means it still belongs to you in the sense that you can have hana from it. Anyway, so now that we went through those three opinions, now we have to figure out which one does our Mishnah fit according to. So Mani Masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? Rabbi Yehuda, if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, can't be. Chometz stomach karma. Rabbi Yehuda had said, generically, chometz after Pesach is also, and there's a lav, implying afilu denachri. Whether it belonged to a goy or to a Jew during Pesach seems to not matter according to Rabbi Yehuda. He just says any chometz that existed during Pesach that you eat after Pesach is an isur lav. So the Mishnah can't be like him. The Reb Shimon, if it goes according to Reb Shimon, can't be the Yisrael nami mishra kashari. After all, Reb Shimon says that even a Yisrael's chometz, it's mutar b'hana after Pesach. So yet the Mishnah is telling us a Jew's chometz is osur and a goy's chometz is mutar. According to Reb Shimon, both of them should be mutar. And according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it would be mutar b'hana even during Pesach itself. So who is our Mishnah like? Amar of Achaba Yaakov la'olam Rabbi Yehudahi. So Rabbi Achaba Yaakov says actually our Mishnah does go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, even though Rabbi Yehuda is, even Rabbi Yehuda, now we said, he's learning from Sukkim that chametz after Pesach is also b'hana. However, he's only talking about chametz that belongs to a Jew. Because v'yalef sa'or da'achila mis'or d'ri'iyah. Because like this, you have a few different psukim that talk about chametz. You have psukim that say you're not allowed to eat chametz, lo ye'ocho chametz, and psukim like that. We're using over here the word sa'ur, but really we mean chametz. Then you have where it says sa'ur, where it says sa'ur and chametz, it says you're not allowed to see it, dir'iyah, ne lo ye'roi l'cho chametz. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is learning the one from the other. So says Rabbi Achaba Yaakov, it's like this. When it comes to seeing Sa'ur or Chometz, then we know, we learned in the first perek, you're not allowed to see your own chametz during Pesach, but you're allowed to see chametz that belongs to other people, meaning goyim, or to gavoya, or to hekdish. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is learning from that, the same thing applies as far as eating chametz. All of these isurim that we're talking about, as far as chametz before Pesach, during Pesach, after Pesach, would only apply to chametz of a Jew. Just like you're allowed to see chametz of a goy during those times, you'd be allowed to eat it. And in fact, the Gemara continues, really in that case then the Mishnah, if we're saying the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then it could have even said that the goy's chametz is mutter even to eat. But the reason it doesn't say that, the reason why it mentions Hana, the Aidi de Tanid Yisrael, Asab Hana, since the Mishnah had to continue and say that a Jew's chametz is Asab Hana, and there we had to use the expression Asab Hana, because in fact it's not just Asur to eat, it is Asab Hana as well. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, so far we're saying that is Doraisa on the grounds of the psukim that he brought yesterday, like Serchal Olav, etc. So then Tonanami de Nachri Mutabhana. So therefore they'd also mentioned the word Hana in connection with the chametz of a goy, even though in principle it would actually be that you'd be allowed to eat it. And similarly, your dino boiler the misna da fila basmane mutabhana, by rights, the Mishnah could have even mentioned that. Even during Pesach itself, the chametz would be mutter b'hana, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be the case. According to this understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that would be the case, because according to him, only chametz of a Jew is also b'hana during Pesach. Chametz of a goy is not. So the Mishnah could have even mentioned that chametz of a goy is mutter during Pesach itself. But again, va'aydi detonid Yisrael la'achas manai, since it had to mention the din about a Yisrael's chametz la'achas manai. And again, that we had to say because you have to clarify that we're saying that Yisrael's chametz is mutter, even la'achas manai, because b'soichs manai is less of a chiddush, of course, during Pesach. So therefore, tananami denochri la'achas manai. Therefore, it mentioned also a goy's chametz la'achas manai. But really, in other words, the Mishnah can work according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't have to say the Mishnah means davka, that only the chametz of a goy is mutter b'hana only after Pesach. Really, it would be mutter b'achila even after Pesach, and b'hana even during Pesach. But because the Mishnah wants to contrast it with the chametz of a yid, therefore it puts it like this. good morning, Ali. We're holding in the middle of Chav Tesamad Aleph. Tosfos actually brings up an interesting point. If you're talking about that, you're saying that even toich zman. Now Rashi learns actually that when we're saying that toich zmanu would be mutter, Rashi learns that actually what it means is, it means according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only the goy's chametz would be mutter b'hana during Pesach, it would even be mutter b'achila during Pesach. Because again, the whole thing the Torah is telling us loy ye'ochol chametz, but we're learning that according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov from the fact that it says lo yiro l'cho chametz, and therefore whatever chametz lo yiro doesn't apply to, then lo yochol doesn't apply either. Meaning, in other words, in effect, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would come out, according to what we're saying so far, you would be allowed to eat, according to Rashi understands the Gemara to be saying, that you would actually be able to eat a goy's chametz during Pesach, which leads Tosfos to ask the question, How do you accomplish that? I mean, either the goy gives you the chametz, but then it belongs to you, then it's not the chametz of the goy anymore, or you steal it from the goy, but then you chayev b'achriyosai. And we already learned in the first perek that if you have, for example, the goy deposits chametz by you for safekeeping, and you chayev b'achriyosai, that if the chametz gets lost or stolen or what have you, then you're going to be responsible to pay the goy. We had the example of the food that the soldiers brought, which the Jews of Mechol were responsible for. So then also it's considered yours. So Tosfos answers and disagrees with Rashi and says that no, what the Gemara means is that Rabbi Yehuda would say that chametz of a goy is mutter b'hana during Pesach, not b'achila. With that said, though, there are Rishonim who defend Rashi and explain how we can make it work even according to Rashi. One interesting explanation is the Ravid gives is the Gemara mentioned a similar concept in other places. Imagine, for example, that the Goy takes a piece of chametz and sticks it down the Jew's throat without the Jew actually touching it. So from the point of view of Kinyan, the Jew hasn't actually acquired that chametz because he didn't do any act of Kinyan on it. He didn't do Mashicha, he didn't do Akbar, any of the other valid methods of Kinyan. So from the point of view of that, it still belongs to the Goy. According to what we're saying now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be allowed to swallow that chametz. And it comes out, therefore, that you have a way during Pesach that you'd be mutter to eat chametz of a Goy without it actually becoming yours. So that's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be the case. In principle, you would actually be able to eat the chametz of the goy even during Pesach, or according to Tosfos, maybe only have hanah from it, and you would be able to eat it for sure even after Pesach, according to everybody. But because the Mishnah wants to contrast it with the chametz of a Jew, that overall of a Pesach, therefore it mentions only after Pesach and only mentions hanah. So that's one explanation. That's one way we can make the Mishnah work. We say the Mishnah then goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah doesn't mean precisely that it's only after Pesach that the Goy's chametz is mutter and only b'hana. Really, it would be even during Pesach, and really after Pesach it would be mutter even to eat. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. La'olam Reb Shimon, actually our Mishnah goes according to Reb Shimon, who says that midaraisa chametz is not aser la'achar zmanoi. Reb Shimon knosa konis. However, what it is Reb Shimon holds, we have to penalize the person. Yes, we're saying that. Yes, we're saying after Pesach the chometz would be mutar ba'achila, but the chachamim imposed a knas hoyov over aleh ba'yirah ba'yimatzah because it was over on ba'yirah ba'yimatzah. Therefore, the chachamim canceled and made this chometz aser. Which brings up an interesting point, by the way. I think one of you asked it. You asked this yesterday. So what happens? A person did bedik. I think actually you asked this, Avraham Moshe. So what happens? A person did bedikas chametz. He did everything he was supposed to. And after Pesach, he finds some chametz that he didn't get rid of. So actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that scenario, and it says, nevertheless, that chametz is still going to be aser. You did everything you could, etc. You were boydik, you were vato, the whole 9 yards, doesn't matter. Once the chachamim made this knas, the chachamim didn't want that a person is going to start playing tricks. That, for example, a person is going to not do a proper bedikah or a proper bittul or whatever, because he really wants the chametz for after Pesach, the gluska yofa that we learned about in the first parak, for example, and therefore he's going to pretend after Pesach, I didn't even know that chametz was there. And therefore the chacham just said as a blanket statement, it's going to be also no matter what. There is an interesting point also that's discussed. What about, for example, if a person had chametz stolen from him before Pesach? He doesn't have the ability to get rid of it before Pesach. Is it maybe not covered under this? So actually, the Ritva and some other Rishonim talk about based on a Gemara and Baba Kama that still we would still say it's also to him after Pesach. Again, Lloyd Plug, the Chachamim are not making distinctions within this takana. On the other hand, the No Debi Yehuda disagrees with that and says that maybe stealing is a special case. Maybe it would be mutter for him after Pesach. Rabbi Akiva Eger in turn disagrees with the No Debi Yehuda. So in the end, the halacha is the accepted halacha is that it's going to be also b'hana no matter what. Okay. So anyway, so according to Rava, that's the explanation of the Mishnah. With the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon that before and after Pesach. There's no lav involved. There's no lav d'oraisa with chometz, but it's after Pesach. There's this gzeira. There's this knas d'rabbanon. Okay. So the Gemara says b'shleima l'rava. So now we understand Rava's explanation. Once what Rava is saying that the whole concept of chometz over all of a Pesach is only a knas because it was over on Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze, Hainu de Katoni, then that explains why the Mishnah uses the expression Sho Yisrael also Meshum Shenem Lo Yiro. So we understand the Mishnah doesn't mean to tell us that it's also Doraisa like we thought originally. It means it's also Dirabanan because the person was over on Lo Yiro. But according to Rabbi Acha Yaakov, why is it mentioning the lo yiroa? Mishum lo yeocho chametz miboylei. According to Rabbi Acha Yaakov, who says that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi Yehuda is learning what kind of chametz you're not allowed to eat from what kind of chametz you're not allowed to have seen in your house, and seen you can have shalachedim shalgavoya. Therefore, he says chametz of achedim you can also. Therefore, he says chametz of achedim you could also eat and have anah from. So according to him.
the Mishnah should be quoting the pasuk b'shem lo ya'achol chametz mibayalei, because the pasuk says you shouldn't eat chametz, and this is chametz that was also to eat during Pesach because it belonged to a yid. Therefore, it remains also after Pesach. Why are you bringing in lo yirah, which is only like a side thing in the yeah? Well, yeah, exactly. It only covers the chametz of the goy and of hekdesh, right? The answer is mi savrat asefa koi. You think, according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, that the posuk that the Mishnah is bringing refers to the sefer? No, our reisha koi. It's actually referring to the reisha. V'hochi karmar. So it means like this: chometz shal nachri she'ovel av pesach mutar hana mishum shenema lo yiroi lacha. Because the posuk says lo yiroi lacha, from which we learn shochoi ataroya abal ataroya shal achirim shal gavaya. So you can see chometz that belongs to achirim or to hektish. And therefore, so in between, the Mishnah interjects the part about the chametz of a Jew. But the last words of the Mishnah, Mishum Shenema, Lo Yira, are referring back to why is chametz of a goy that over al Pesach mutar b'hana according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Lo Yira l'cha doesn't apply to it, and since Lo Yira doesn't apply, then v'yalef sa'ur da'achilim is sa'ur d'ri'ya, then we learn what you're allowed to eat from what you're allowed to see, and since you're allowed to see chametz of a goy because Lo Yira l'cha, then therefore you're allowed to eat chametz of the goy as well after Pesach, and according to Rashi, even during Pesach. Okay. So those are the two understandings of our Mishnah. So we have, again, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov's understanding that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, even though in Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion in the Braisa, we didn't make any kind of distinction between who the chametz belonged to over Pesach, whether a goy or a yid. But we're saying, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov is saying that Rabbi Yehuda would make such a distinction because he would learn from lo yiroi lacha to lo ya'achol chametz. That since you're allowed to see chametz of a goy, therefore you're allowed to eat chametz of the goy after Pesach as well, and according and have hanaf made after Pesach, and according to Rashi, you could even eat it during Pesach. Yeah, that's what we said. For example, the scenario they stick it down his throat or whatever. Yeah. And according to Rava, none of that. According to Rava, the whole thing of chametz to over of Pesach is strictly dirabanan as a knas. By the way,
what's the logic?
Give me one second, Avraham Moshe. I just wanted to mention that Tzlach points out, once we're saying the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shimon, why can't we equally well say it goes according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili? And he would also hold that the Rabbanon, there's an issue on it after Pesach. And the answer is, because Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that it's B'chlam, Mutar B'hana, even during Pesach, according to him, there's no real basis for making a Gzeira that it should be also B'hana after Pesach. At least according to Reb Shimon, it was also b'hana during Pesach, so the Chachamim can extend that to after Pesach as well because it was over. According to Reb Yisag Lili, you should just say it was also to eat during Pesach. Fine, therefore we can say it's also to eat after Pesach, but there wouldn't be a basis for saying it should be also b'hana as well. Yeah, what do you want to ask?
According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he translate from not seeing to not to be allowed to not seeing to not eating?
How are we translating? Because that's what we said at the top of the Amud. The Yalef, he's learning by Exeter Shava or Mamatzino or whatever. Sa'or da'achilim is sa'or dir'ia. The Torah tells us lo ya'ochol chametz, and the Torah tells us lo ya'roi l'chol chametz. So whatever applies to one applies to the other. Since we know by lo yiroa means you're allowed to see chametz that belongs to a goy, therefore by achila also he says that the isur achila only applies to chametz that belongs to a Jew, not chametz that belongs to a goy. So therefore after Pesach, there's no lav left on it at all. You would be allowed to eat it and have hana from it. During Pesach itself, Rabbi Yehuda would hold you'd be allowed to have hana from it, and according to Rashi, even eat it. Again, in that scenario, let's say where somebody stuck it down his throat, because otherwise you have the problem that he's koyin of the chametz. And yeah, that's how it would work according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. So the Gemara continues, V'ozdu l'tamayu, Rava and Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov are going according to their respective shittas when they're explaining our Mishnah. So this that we're saying, chametz to olav Pesach, is there an isur d'oraisa in it or not? We're according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, we would say according to the Yehuda there is, and according to Rava we would say there's not. So they're going according to their respective shittas. The Itmar, ha'oichol se'or shal nachri she'ovel al Pesach, the divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Yehuda, if a person were to eat chametz of a goy that Pesach passed over it, So actually, I said it the other way around. Rava Amar Loike, but Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Einu Loike. Rava would say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's getting Malkus, and according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, not. Rava Amar Loike, Rava would say he would get Malkus, because Lo Yala for Rabbi Yehuda, Sa'ur Da'achila Misa'ur Da'ri'ya. Because he doesn't hold that Rabbi Yehuda makes that equation between Achila and Ri'ya. So according to him, when Rabbi Yehuda said on Chavches Amud Beis that Chometz, or Chavches Amud Aleph, whatever, the whole long braisa that we brought over there with the three opinions, when Rabbi Yehuda had said over there that Chometz, that Chometz Achar Zmanai, after Pesach, is a lav, then according to Rabbi, it means a blanket statement, whether it belonged to a Jew during Pesach or a Goy. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda is saying there's a lav involved. Therefore, a person eats this Chometz after Pesach, then he's getting Malkus. That's why Rabbi Yehuda, that's why Rava was forced to say that our Mishnah can't be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah has to be according to Rabbi Shimon, and that the whole concept that it's also is only Dirabanan. Because according to Rava, in fact, if a person were to eat Sa'ur or Chametz of a Goy, Sha'oval of a Pesach, he would get Malkus. Not like our Mishnah says that's Mutter. Rabbi Achaba Yaakov would say he doesn't get Malkus because Yalef Sa'ur Da'achila Sa'ur Da'ir'iyah, because according to him, Rabbi Yehuda is learning Sa'ur Da'achila from Sa'ur Da'ir'iyah. So just like you're allowed to see Chometz of a Goy, you're allowed to have Hanah from or eat after Pesach Chometz of a Goy. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Malkus involved because there's no Isser. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the same Knas that Rava is saying Rabbi Shimon would hold. Maybe not, but whatever the case. But here we're talking about chametz of a goy, so the knas is not relevant. So either it's also daraisa or it's completely mutter. And so Rava would say it's also daraisa, therefore Malkus. Rabbi Achaba Yaakov would say according to Rabbi Yehuda it's mutter. Yeah. So it's not really meant something else. We had a Stam Mishnah over here. Which we don't know which of the three Tanoim is the author of this Mishnah. It didn't fit according to any of the three of them. So we have two possible answers. One of them allows us to say that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, but requires us to say that Rabbi Yehuda would make a distinction between chametz of a Jew and chametz of a Goy. He didn't mention it in the Braisa, but nevertheless, we would say that he holds of that distinction. The other possibility is it goes according to Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon imposes a knas to Rabbanon. So we're not changing them around. We're just clarifying within each one of them. Yeah. However, the Gemara says, "V'hoder beit of Achaba Yaakov me'ahi." Now, in the end, Rav Achaba Yaakov ended up changing his mind about this statement that we just said that Rabbi Yehuda learns Sa'ur da'achilam is Sa'ur da'ir'iyah. So Rav Achaba Yaakov changed his mind, and we're going to see. We're going to now quote a Braisa. We're going to have several different explanations of the Braisa, one of them being Rav Achaba Yaakov's, and once we have that explanation of his, we'll see from that where he changed his mind. So we'll resume that discussion on Amud Beis, and meanwhile we're going to be discussing this Braisa and the various understandings of it. So D'tanya. So like this, we learn in a Braisa, ha'oicho chometz shel hekdesh v'moyed. If a person eats chometz of hekdesh during Pesach, moyed doesn't just mean chala moyed; it means the entire yom tov of Pesach. Moal, so he's committed. We're talking about he did b'shoigig. At least he was shoigig as far as the meilah. So he thought. Let's say he didn't know that it was hektish. We're not addressing the issue. We're not addressing the issue of whether he was mazed on the chametz. That we'll get back to that point soon. But at least he was moyal. He was shoigig on hektish. As we said the other day, people don't usually use hektish b'mazed. So usually by default in shas, when we talk about moyal, it usually means b'shoigig. So he ate this chametz of hektish during Pesach. Well, the bread and chametz, bread and matzah look very similar. There is that, yeah. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, so he ate chametz of hektish during Pesach. Moal, he's committed me'ila, meaning therefore he's going to have to pay hektish keden v'chomesh and bring a korban. Now, what it would be is one way of understanding that Rashi says is that Reb Shimon again had said that la'achar Pesach this chametz will be mutter. Therefore, even though right now it's not worth anything because it's during Pesach, but after Pesach, since Daraisa it is mutter b'hanah again, it's only Darabanan that not. Therefore, the Gizbar would have been able to sell it to a Yid after Pesach and get some money out of it. There's a concept in Halacha in some places, which we're going to discuss in our Gemara over here. There's a concept called Dover Agurim L'mamon K'mamon Dummy, that even though something itself maybe doesn't have any monetary value right now, but it brings to something that has monetary value, and therefore it's considered to have value even right now. So here, the chametz for Pesach itself is osur, is osur b'achilo v'hanah, according to Reb Shimon. and according to Rabbi Yehuda, but after Pesach, but after Pesach, the gizbo would be able on a Daraisa level to sell it to a yid. And actually, Rashi says it's not even, we wouldn't even apply the knas over here. The knas only applies when it was kept by Isser. But hektish, we said, so you were allowed to have the schametz in your house during Pesach anyway. So therefore, there's no reason to cancel after Pesach and make it that it should be osur. So therefore, no. So if he ate from it during Pesach, he's over on loya ochol chametz. But the point is, in other words, this person was makdish this loaf of bread, let's say, before Pesach. Now he has it in his house over Pesach. He's not over on that because after roya shalachedem mishal gavoya. Now, therefore, after Pesach, it would have had value again because at that point the gizbar would have been able to sell it to a yid. So therefore, if this yid eats it during Pesach, then he's committed meila. He's called hektish to lose money. Therefore, he's chayev money. The yesh omrim loy mal. On the other hand, yesh omrim that he did not commit meila. Now, we have to figure man yesh omrim. Who are these yesh omrim, and what's the basis for their opinion? So now we have a few different explanations. Amar Rabbi Yechonon Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. That would be according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Now we know there's a concept in halacha called kamle b'dirabimine, that if a person does an iser which makes him chayev misa as well as mamon, then he's potter from the mamon and chayev only in the misa. Classic example that it talks about in Bava Kama and in other places. Let's say a person, for example, shot an arrow on Shabbos and caused it to rip somebody's clothing. So he's potter for paying for the clothing because he's chayv misa for the hitzah and achnosa on Shabbos. That's one example. Another example would be a person kills somebody and rips his clothing at the same time. Whatever. Anyway, that's called kom lebedirabimine. Now, does that apply only to misas based in, or does it apply to other kinds of misa as well? So the Tanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, Hoya Oises, Yemek Kippurim, Keshabbos L'Tashlumin. Rabbi Nechunya, now, so we know, therefore, that the example that Rashi gives from the Gemara over there is, let's say a person burns somebody else's stack of grain. So if he does it on Shabbos, Kam Leibidurabimine, he's not chayev to pay for the grain. He's chayev misa for burning the grain, for making a fire on Shabbos. What happens if he does it on Yom Kippur? there's no chiyuv skila on Yom Kippur. There's only kares for doing malacha on Yom Kippur. So according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, it doesn't matter. either way, he's potter from paying, because even though that doesn't matter. That's the thing. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana holds. So it's like this. Where do we know the whole concept of kam libedidabamine anyway? So like this, the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that if two people are fighting and one of them hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, then he has to pay dmei vlodis, he has to pay the woman's husband the value of the children, like the value, how much more she's worth pregnant as opposed to unpregnant, basically. Then the pasuk continues. So the pasuk says, "V'lo yia osain." If there's no osain, then onish yonish. Then he has to pay a monetary penalty. Implying if there is an osain, then he doesn't get punished. Now the word osain. So in context of the pasuk, the word it can v'lo yia osain means the woman herself wasn't killed. But we also understand that the word osain means death. We had in last week's parasha, we have in this week's parasha, Ukra'ahu Osain, where the Yaakov is nervous and Yehuda is nervous about what's going to happen to Binyamin. Yeah. So the word Osain means death. So the Chachamim take the view that it means only if there's an Osain, bidei Adam, only if the person is going to be Chayav Misa bidei Adam, then we say Kamalei bidei Abimine. But if it's Misa bidei Shemayim or Koris, nothing doing. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana says Misa is Misa. So he says that the same thing would apply if the person lights up the haystack on Shabbos as on Yom Kippur. Either way, he committed a malacha that makes him chayiv misa. In the one case, bidei Adam, in the other case, bidei Shemayim, but it doesn't matter. Either way, he's potter from paying. So therefore, so applying that to our case over here, therefore, so, let's finish up what Rav Nachman Ben Hakanah says. He says, Ma Shabbos mischayev benafshay o potter min atashlomin. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, he's chayev misa bidei Adam, he's chayev misa based in, and therefore he's potter from tashlomin, and everybody agrees to that, because there you have osain, and the pasuk is implying that where there's osain, there's no payment. After Yom Kippur, mischayev benafshay o potter min atashlomin, the same way would be on Yom Kippur. So if a person does malacha, if a person eats or does malacha on Yom Kippur, he's chayev kares. And kares mean, in those times, it actually meant the person died before he was 50 or 60 years old. You have different opinions about it. The Alter Rebbe explains in Negeres HaTshuva that nowadays we don't see that a person who's chayev kares dies young because we don't get our chayos only from Kedusha. Nowadays, in the time of Golos, we get our chayos from the klippos as well, and therefore that makes it possible for the person to live to a ripe old age. His neshama is still cut off from Elikos, though. The Alter Rebbe talks about this, and so no, a person doesn't necessarily feel it, but he could be doing right, but he doesn't realize that his neshama is cut off. Of course, he could do tshuva, ein l'chadava sh'omid b'fnei tshuva. So yeah, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, it actually would mean that the person would physically die young at 50 or 60, because the chayus that once his neshama is cut off from Elikos, there's only a certain amount of time it could still keep him alive. But nowadays, our neshamas get their chayas also from klippas, so therefore, yeah. Anyway, according to Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah, the same thing applies whether there was kares or missus based in involved. Therefore, applying that to over here, this person ate chametz, and that makes him chayav kares. So therefore, Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah would say he's potter from paying hekdesh for the value that they lost. Now Rashi points out that wait a minute though, Rav Nachunya only says he's potter when you bemazed. Here it's b'shoigig. So Rashi says actually what you could be is regarding chametz he could be mazed, regarding hekdesh he could be shoigig. He didn't know that this chametz belonged to hekdesh, but he knew that it's chametz and he's eating it on Pesach. Tosfos says you don't need that actually. Tosfos says you have a separate machlokas. Besides for the machlokas of Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah and the Chachamim, you have a separate machlokas where Chizkiah says once we say the concept of kum le b'dirabamine, then it applies whether the actual action that he did was b'shoigig or b'mezid. So in other words, kum le b'dirabamine doesn't mean that he actually has to be doing b'mezid and actually be chayiv misa. It just means that he did an action that potentially would make him chayiv misa. So for example, in the case of the haystack, Chizkiah would say, even if he didn't know it was Shabbos, so therefore he can't get missus based in for it, nevertheless he'd be potter, because such an action, if he had done it b'mezid, would make him chayiv missus based in. So applying that to over here, Tosfos says, you could say the same thing. He doesn't know this is hekdesh. He also doesn't know it's chametz. He's not actually chayav kares because he was shoyging on the chametz. Nevertheless, kum le b'dirabamine would say that if it was missus based in, he'd be potter according to everybody. And because it's kares we're talking about over here, then he's potter according to Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah. Tosfos also mentions, by the way, that Granted, we don't make him pay hekdesh, the keren, but why don't we at least make him pay the chomesh and bring the korban? And the answer is they all go together. When there's no keren, then there's no chomesh and there's no korban. Okay. The halacha is not like Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah. So the halacha is that kom le b'dirabamine only applies to Mrs. Bastin, not kores. But the halacha is like Chizkiah, though, that kom le b'dirabamine does apply to shoigig or mezid. So again, in the case of the person who burnt the haystack on Shabbos, whether he was shoigig or mezid regarding Shabbos, either way he would be potter from paying. Either way he'd be potter from paying because kom le b'dirabamine. Yeah. Okay. So that's one way of understanding the b'raisa. Then, so again, we have the Tanakama and the b'raisa says that he committed me'ila. Because again, even though right now during Pesach the chametz is also b'hanah, but after Pesach it will be mutar b'hanah again. We're not even going to have the knas because hekdesh is allowed to own chametz during Pesach. So you're allowed to have that chametz in your house during Pesach because after roya shalachedim b'shog gavoya. So therefore, after Pesach the gizbo would be able to sell it to a Jew. Therefore, right now it has a monetary value. And Rav Nachunya ben Hakanah, according to this first explanation, agrees with that concept. He just says, on the other hand, kum le b'dirabamine goes against it and says therefore that he's potter. That's one answer. Rabbi Yosef, no, the machlokas in the b'raisa has to do with the question of are you able to be poida chametz, where the only thing you can do with it is feed it to dogs. So in other words, Rashi explains like this. According to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, the Braisa is according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon again says that after Pesach, chametz is mutar b'hanah. Therefore, after Pesach, the gizbar would have been able to sell it to a yid. And therefore, the fact that you ate it now during Pesach means you caused hekdesh a loss. And Rabbi Nachman ben Akana agrees that you caused hekdesh a loss, but he's saying, come live with the rabbi, and it prevents us from making him pay for it and bring a korban, etc. Rabbi Yosef is saying no. If we hold like Rabbi Shimon, then or like Rabbi Yehuda, that during Pesach the chametz is also b'hana, then we wouldn't say we don't say davar agom l'momen k'momen dami. Right now during Pesach, this chametz has no monetary value. So how can he be mechayiv him for eating? How can he be mechayiv him to pay hektish for eating it? No, we have to say, says Rabbi Yosef, that the braisa is going within Rabbi Yosef Agluli's opinion. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who says that chametz, even during Pesach, is mutar b'hanah, but during Pesach, obviously, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, you can't eat the chametz. So what could you do with it? What kind of hanah could you have? For example, you could feed it to dogs. Are you allowed to redeem kodshim when the only thing you can do with it is feed it to dogs? Manda Amam Moal, so the Tanakama of the Braisa who says that he committed Mela, Kosava Poydenes HaKodshim Lachil and Loklovim. He says the Gizbo could have done that. He could have taken the Schomets, had somebody buy it back from Hekdesh in order to be able to feed it to dogs during Pesach itself, because according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, it's Mutar B'hanah. Therefore, instead, this person ate the Schomets. Therefore, he caused Hekdesh a loss. Therefore, Mela. Well, it's right. Well, it's not so much degrading. It's actually the Gemara discusses in various places that it's based on limudim from psukim. When it says tizbach ve'achalta, doesn't mean that you're allowed to be poida kodshim even when you yourself can't eat it, or doesn't mean dafka only when you yourself would be able to eat it. It comes up in many contexts. For example, let's say you have an animal of kodshim that's a trefa. Once you poide it, you're not going to be able to eat it because it's shreifa. Or you're allowed to be poide it, or no, because the only thing you could do with it at that point is feed it to dogs. Or sell it to goyim also, but toast for socks and amad beis, that would be basically the same thing. If you say that you're not allowed to be poide kodshim, where the only thing you can do with them is feed them to dogs, then the same thing would also apply as far as where the only thing you could do is give them to goyim. Anyway, the point is, the Tanakama of this Braisa therefore holds that Me'ila would apply because Hekdesh could have gotten monetary value out of this Hekdesh, out of this Chometz. They could have sold it to somebody who would then use it to feed to a dog, and there you go then. So therefore, Hekdesh has a loss. On the other hand, Umanda Omaloy Ma Kosava Ain Poidin, whereas the opinion that says you didn't commit Me'ila would say that you can't be poida where the only thing you can do with it is feed it to the dogs. So Rashi brings the limud over here, actually. Rashi says like this. The Pasuk says about Psulei HaMukdashin, Tizbach ve'achalta, you can shech them and you can eat them. So what are we learning from the word ve'achalta? One way of understanding is ve'achalta only if you can eat them, not if only dogs can eat them. Therefore, ein poden es hakodshim la'achil l'klovim. The other opinion says that no, ve'achalta, tizbach ve'achalta just means when are you allowed to eat them? You're only allowed to have hanah from them after you shech them. Meaning, in other words, you're not allowed to shear them or milk them and use the milk while they're alive. The only thing you can do with psulei hamikdashin is shech them. So therefore, that results in a machlokas whether you're able to be poed to them where the only thing you can do is feed them to dogs. So the two opinions in our braisa reflect those two different opinions. Actually, Tosfos says that really over here the chametz only has iser. The chametz really only has kedushas domim over here. So because after all, you don't bring chametz itself on the mizbeach. So then, in that case, it only has kedushas domim. You should be able to be poydet regardless. So Tosfos says, okay, when we say over here ain't poydet, we mean dirabanan. But even so, dirabanan, it's also to do. Therefore, that opinion would say since dirabanan, you can't be poydet la'achil and l'klavim, the result is still the same thing. It has no monetary value. Hekdesh couldn't have gotten any monetary value out of it. Therefore, he's not chayav in mila. Okay, so that's a second way of understanding. Rav Acha bar Rava Tonala. Rav Acha bar Rava taught this last statement that we quoted Rabbi Yosef as explaining the Braisa. He quoted it in the name of Rabbi Yosef a little differently. The machlokas in the Braisa would be like this. They both agree that you can't be poi de kodshim when the only thing you can do is feed them to dogs. And v'hocha, v'hocha miflegi, v'dover agurim l'momen k'momen dummy. The machloikas would rather be, right now the chometz is also b'hana, but later on, after Pesach, it would be mutter to eat. So therefore, so now we're saying, again, we had, according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, the two opinions in the Braisa were within Rabbi Shimon's opinion. According to the first version of Rabbi Yosef that the Gemara brought, it was within Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion, that even during Pesach, the chometz is mutter b'hana. Now we're back to that, no, the Braisa is according to Rabbi Shimon, that during Pesach it's also b'hana, but after Pesach it'll be mutter not only b'hana, but even to eat. Because again, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have a knas to Rabbanan on chametz to avol Pesach, but it doesn't apply to chametz that was in the possession of Hekdesh during Pesach, because after roya shalachedim mishogavoya. So therefore, so it's not even a question of whether the only thing you can do is feed them to dogs. This chametz could have been left till after Pesach, and anybody would be able to eat it. So now the question is, so the machlokes and the braisa is, when you have something that itself doesn't have monetary value, but eventually the existence of it leads to something that has monetary value, is that considered like mammon right now? So that's the question. He would say, right now the chametz has zero value because during Pesach itself, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're also to eat it or have hana from it. So therefore, you can't eat it yourself. You can't feed it to dogs. You can't sell it to goyim, etc. But after Pesach, this same chametz would have the value of mammon again because it'll be mutter b'achilo v'hana again. So right now, it's considered like mammon. Therefore, right now, we consider as though Hekdesh suffered a loss. Therefore, me'ilah. Whereas the second opinion in the Braisa would say that it's not kamaman, and therefore right now Hekdesh hasn't suffered a loss, and therefore there's no mela. So that's a third way of understanding the Braisa. During Pesach itself, if it's also b'hana, they can't sell it to a guy. Doesn't matter. It's still, if we say it's also b'hana during Pesach, then that applies. Okay. So that's a third way. So far we have like this. We have Rabbi Yochanan's way of understanding the Braisa, that both opinions in the Braisa agree that you've caused Hekdesh to lose money, but the second opinion in the Braisa is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana saying, yeah, but come labor the Rabbimine prevents us from making him pay for it. The second understanding was the Stamad Gemara's quotation of Rabbi Yosef, that the machloikas is, given that during Pesach itself we can only be poideh to feed it to dogs, then can we do that or not? So that would depend on the question. Therefore, does it have right now any monetary value? And the third way that we said, Rav Acha bar Rava is explaining that what it is you could have left it till after Pesach, but right now during Pesach it has no monetary value. So is that Dovar Gurmla Mammon? Does that count as Mammon or not? Those are the two opinions in the Braisa. That's the whether Dovar Gurmla Mammon can Mammon. I mean, that's exactly that. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and now we come to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which is why we're bringing this in the first place, because we wanted to show that Rav Acha bar Yaakov changed his mind about how he understood Rabbi Yehuda before. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the kulei alma dover agurim l'momen k'momen dummy. Everybody agrees that dover agurim l'momen k'momen dummy. So therefore, right now, this chametz may have no value, but after Pesach, according to Rav Shimon, it will be, and according to Rav Yosef Aglili, it will be mutter b'hana. Therefore, you should be chayev. Rather, the two opinions in the Braisa are respectively the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Manda amalei mark Rabbi Yehuda, the one who says he didn't commit me'ilah, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, after Pesach, it's also asabahana. So therefore, there's no mammon, because you can a yid is never going to be able to eat it or have hana from it. It's not even a gurm la mammon, because even if somebody buys it back, he's not going to be able to have enough from it. You can't even say, let's sell it to a goy, because ain't poyed in a sakodshim la'achil and laklovim, because you can't be poyed it when the only thing you could do is feed it to a goy or to dogs. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no monetary value to the chametz at all, not during Pesach and not even after Pesach. Because again, we said, so that's the thing. Before we were saying that, that's the thing. This is where we're going to show that Rabbi Achava Yaakov changed his mind. Before we were explaining, Rabbi Achava Yaakov was explaining Rabbi Yehuda to be saying, only chametz that is also to eat and to see during Pesach is chametz where the concept of Isur Hanah applies after Pesach. But Hekdish, we said it doesn't. That's where we're going to see it. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, Bechlal, it's Mutar B'Hanah after Pesach, and not only Mutar B'Hanah, even Mutar B'Achila. So therefore, according to him, it's Davar Gerim L'Mamon. Right now, during Pesach, it has no value. But as soon as Pesach is over, it will have value again. Therefore, he's Chayiv Mila. So even though right now, during Pesach, when he ate it, it has no value. But had he left it till after Pesach, it would have had value again. Therefore, it's Davar Gerim L'Mamon. According to Reb Shimon. Not Reb Shimon, I'm the Reb Shimon plane. So they've... Right, exactly. According to Reb Shimon, we would say Didabanan, there's a knas not to eat and have hanah from chametz over all of Pesach, but that only applies to chametz that you was your own, that you were not allowed to have in your possession during Pesach. But since you were allowed to have in your possession chametz of Hekdish, therefore the knas doesn't apply, right? So now, we see that Rabbi Achava Yaakov changed his mind. And on Aleph, we said that Rabbi Achava Yaakov himself learned that Rabbi Yehuda learns Sa'ur da'achila from Sa'ur da'riya, that only chametz that you're not allowed to see is chametz that you're not allowed to eat or have hanah from after Pesach. And Hekdish you're allowed to see, therefore you should be allowed to after Pesach. So according to him, we can't say in our Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda would say he's potter from Me'ila. Ela, hold the bread, Rabbi Achava Yaakov, may I he? So obviously the answer is that Rabbi Achava Yaakov changed his mind and doesn't hold anymore that's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Which leaves us with Rava's explanation that our Mishnah goes according to Reb Shimon and it's a knas. So the Mishnah cannot go according to Reb Yehuda in the end because now we're saying after he changed his mind, right? Right. Okay. Rav Ashi Yama, de kule alma ein podin. Rav Ashi says here's another way of explaining the Braisa that we were just quoting. Everybody agrees ein podin is hakod shem lachil l'klovim. Therefore, in other words, we we're not going to be able to wait till after Pesach and sell the chametz. And v'davra agrim l'mamon lavka mamon dom. So therefore, so we can't say it's according to Rabbi Yosef Glili that we could be poide during Pesach and feed it to dogs because you can't do that. Nor can you sell it to a goy for the same reason. And we would also say v'davra agrim l'mamon lavka mamon dom. A davar agrim l'mamon would not be like mamon, so therefore we wouldn't say it's mutter. Therefore, we wouldn't say it's also during Pesach, but it will be mutter during Pesach. It will be mutter after Pesach, and therefore it has a future monetary value, and we should be mechayiv him. So v'hocha beplugta the Rabbi Yisrael Glili v'rabbanon kamiflegi. The machloikas is just the machloikas of Rabbi Yisrael Glili and the rabbanon. Manda amam mark Rabbi Yisi. The opinion in the braisa that says that he committed meila is according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Even during Pesach itself is mutter b'hanah. So therefore, what you could do, you can't feed it to dogs, but what you could do is you could redeem it from Hekdish and use it for firewood. Because according to that's a valid use of something that you bought back from Hekdish. So up until now, we were talking about the only choices are either you're going to be poided and eat it, or you're going to be poided and feed it to dogs. Now Rav Ashi is pointing out you have a third alternative. You could be poided and use it as firewood. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would allow that because he says chametz is mutter b'hanah during Pesach. So you have bread from Hekdish, you ate it during Pesach, so now you've caused Hekdish a loss, because if you hadn't eaten that bread, the Gizbar could have taken that bread, sold it to somebody who would then use it for firewood during Pesach, and he'd get money for it, for Hekdish. No, the point is that the person could use the chametz itself as firewood. He has a mitzvah to destroy the chametz, but according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he could be using it for firewood. So as opposed to Mando Amaloyma or Rabbanon, the opinion that says he didn't commit Me'ila is according to the Rabbanon, either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Either Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's also Bahana during Pesach and after Pesach, or Rabbi Shimon, who says it's also Bahana during Pesach. The fact that it's Mutter Bahana after Pesach doesn't help us because Dovra Gom Lamaman Lav Kamaman. So therefore, there's no Me'ila. Lav Kamaman means. Well, Davar Agrim L'mamon Lav K'mamon Domi is a machlokas in a few places in Chas. Right now, what we're saying is that if we say Davar Agrim L'mamon Lav K'mamon means the fact that in the future it will have a value doesn't mean that right now it's considered to have a potential value. you could conceivably wait till after Pesach, according to Reb Shimon, and sell it, and somebody could eat it. But Reb Shimon, but we would say that we the second Tana of this Mishnah, the Yesh of the Braisa, the Yesh Omim in the Braisa would say, I don't care about that. Right now, it has no value because right now you can't sell it to anybody who would have hanah from it because, according to Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, it's during Pesach and it's also b'hanah, and therefore they're nothing doing. The only thing you could do is wait till after Pesach, and you could wait till after Pesach. According to Reb Yehuda, then even after Pesach, it would still be also b'hanah, so that doesn't help you. And according to Reb Shimon, it would be multi b'hanah, but right now it doesn't have any value. That's what we're saying. Rabbi Yisrael Glili would allow that. Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who allows chametz b'hana during Pesach, then according to him, the chametz right now has monetary value. Yeah. That's the thing. So we're saying the Tanakama of that Braisa that we said. No, our Mishnah can't go according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili because our Mishnah says chametz after Pesach of a yud is also b'hana. There's no reason, like we said, that Tzlach said before, Rabbi Yisrael Glili would have no reason to say if it's muta b'hana during Pesach that we should cancel him and make it also b'hana after Pesach. So it has to be according to Rabbi Shimon. But in the Braisa, we're saying Rav Ashi is saying that the Braisa, the first opinion in the Braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Glili. The second opinion is the opinion of Rav Shimon. And therefore, so the Mishnah goes according to Rav Shimon, right? What he accomplished is that we said we're able to, we have different understandings. Who are the two opinions in the Braisa? So we had the two opinions are the Chachamim versus Rav Nechoni ben Akana. Or within Reb Shimon's opinion, that chametz after Pesach will be muta b'hanah d'oraisa. We had the two opinions are whether podin or ain podin is hakadosh la'achilin l'klavim, which is a machlokes elsewhere in Shas. We had the another possibility is that it was that's the machlokes of davar gom l'mamon k'mamon dami, which is another machlokas that we have in a few places in Shas. We had Rav Achaba Yaakov trying to say that it was Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, but we said that shows that he contradicted what he said before about his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. And now we have Rav Ashi saying that it's Rabbi Yosef Glili versus Rabbi Shimon. That's all. It's another way of understanding the Braisa. So Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, the Tanakama who says Maal would be Rabbi Yosef Glili, the halacha therefore wouldn't be like him because the halacha would be like Rabbi Shimon. That chametz after Pesach is mutar b'hanah. That chametz during Pesach is also b'hanah, but after Pesach is mutar b'hanah d'oraisa, and therefore right now, yeah. So according to Reb Shimon, if you ate it during Pesach, you're not chayev for me'ilah because right now it's not worth anything exactly. Yeah. Even though later on, right? We don't care about later on, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. New discussion. We mentioned about chametz being also b'hana, so now after Pesach. So now we're going to talk about mixtures of chametz. Now we have like this. We have the general rules of taruvus, or you have this something. You have like this. You have to one basic thing you have to distinguish in Hilchos taruvus is things that are mixed together but don't give a flavor one to the other. Versus ones that do. Ones that don't give a flavor to each other are called yovish b'yovish, dry in dry. So you have, there's something mixed, something also mixed in with something mutter. You have isser somewhere in there, but the heter doesn't have any flavor of the isser in it. Versus you have, then there's lach b'lach, liquid in liquid, or for that matter, even you have things that are cooked together or whatever, where one of them gives the other one a flavor, and therefore then, so it's like this. D'oraisa, when you have yavish b'yavish, then it's bottle b'roiv. D'rabbanan, in most cases, we say you need 60 times as much. There are certain rare cases where even d'rabbanan, we allow yavish b'yavish as long as you have a majority of heter. When it comes to lach b'lach, then you have, it can't be nois and tam. Then it can't be giving a flavor. And then you have the distinction also whether it's min b'minoi or min b'she'enoi minoi. Whether it's the same, whether it's the same substance mixed together or two different substances. So, Omer Rav, chametz bizmanoi, chametz during the time of Pesach itself, ben b'minoi, ben shaloi b'minoi, osur, then whether chametz is mixed in with minoi or with enoi minoi, also, so then it's going to ask the whole mixture. No, bepashtus we mean whether it's lach or yabash. Yeah, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna discuss. Yeah, shaloi bismanoi outside of the time of the isu chametz. B'minoi osur, only if it's mixed in minoi would it be osur. Shaloi b'minoi mutter, but if it's shaloi b'minoi, then it'll be bottle, and then it'll be mutter. Now, what does it mean? Now, bismanoi obviously means during Pesach itself. Does bismanoi also include erev Pesach? That you also have a machlokas aposkim about. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, I think, is that shaloi bismanoi includes erev Pesach. So only on Pesach itself is it considered zmanoi. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "B'maya skinan? What's the scenario over here that Rav is talking that Rav is talking about? Ilema benoisin tam. You're talking about that the chametz actually gives a flavor to the food. What do you mean shaloi bismanoi shaloi b'minoi mutter? What do you mean it should be mutter even if it's shaloi b'minoi as long as it's shaloi bismanoi? Ho yohiv taima. It gave a flavor into the food. The food has chametz into it, and you can actually taste the taste of the chametz. In fact, Rashi points out, given that Rav is saying that b'minoi also, even as shaloi b'zmanoi, obviously, therefore, he must agree with Rabbi Yehuda that even after Pesach, there's a lav d'oraisa on the chametz. It's not just a knas like we said on Amud Aleph. Therefore, so according to him, then it has a flavor of chametz. So even after, so this chametz was mixed in to the food after Pesach. Let's say shaloi b'zmanoi. Why should it be mutter? Why should it be mutter if it was? Why should it be mutter if it's giving a flavor? If it's shaloi b'minoi, el b'mashu chametz bismanoi ben b'minoi ben shaloi b'minoi osir. Rather, what Rav means to say is that if you have even a mashu chametz and it's bismanoi in the time during Pesach itself ben b'minoi ben shaloi b'minoi osir, then it's asering whether it's b'minoi or shaloi b'minoi. And the Gemara says Rav Lataime, so Rav is going according to his own shita. The Rav Shmuel de Amitavayu call isurin shabat Torah b'minoi b'mashu. Any isur in the Torah, if it's mixed in b'minoi, then it's asering. Even if there's only a mashu of it, even if it's bottle b'shishim bottle and however many, it's still asering. Shaloi b'minoi b'nois and tam. If it's shaloi b'minoi, then it needs to be enough to give a flavor, which is usually more than 1/60. So therefore, Rav Gozer chametz bismanoi shaloi b'minoi otu minoi. So therefore, it's like this: Rav is saying, on a d'oraisa level, the only thing that should be also b'mashahu is chametz bismanoi. Is chametz bismanoi. So he's going to say we're going to be making a gzera chametz bismanoi shaloi b'minoi otu minoi. Now we're going to say that drabanan, we're going to say even if it's shaloi b'minoi, so you have chametz mixed into some other kind of food, we're going to make a gzera and make it also during Pesach because that might be confused with the case of b'minoi, which would be also d'oraisa, and v'shaloi bismanoi b'minoi also. Kirab Yehuda, then if it's shaloi bismanoi, but it is b'minoi, then he would hold like Rabbi Yehuda that the issur of chametz exists after zmanoi as well, d'oraisa. Therefore, we're going to make it also as well. But shaloi b'minoi mutter, but if it's shaloi bismanoi and shaloi b'minoi, that's when we're saying it'll be mutter, the shaloi bismanoi, but shaloi b'minoi, otu minoi, kulei ha'ilegazrin. We're not going to go so far as to make a gzera where it's not minoi, where again, Rav holds that shaloi b'minoi, you anyway need nois and tam. Just the masha who is not enough to aser when it's enoi minoi, and here it's shaloi bismanoi. So that's two reasons to be meiko. We're not going to go so far as to be machmir and say because it might be confused with minoi with minoi bismanoi. So that's one opinion. Now Rashi also adds, by the way, that when it comes to other isurim Shabbat Torah, we don't find making such a gzera that we should make, let's say, chelev or blood or whatever. We don't see that there's a gzera of shaloi minoi otu minoi. The difference is the famous distinction that we've talked about before, that people stay away from chelev and dam all year round because they know it's aser. Chametz they eat the rest of the year. So therefore, we have to be much more machmir in it. Therefore, Rav finds it necessary to say that even if it's shaloi b'minoi, even though usually we would say with other isurim Shabbat Torah, it's only osur b'nois and tam, but here he's going to be asking it even b'mashu, but only bismanoi, only during Pesach itself, right? Or according to some Rishonim, on erev Pesach after 6 hours as well. But yeah, okay, that's all Rab's opinion. In general, by the way, the Rishonim point out those the reasons why. why we're machmir with chametz so much more than any other isurim shabbat Torah is because you have a whole bunch of things that join together that are unlike all other isurim. It's chayev kares, which many other isurim are not chayev kares; they're only allowed. It's loy b'dili in shemine. People don't stay away from it because people are used to eating chametz during the year. And the Torah says on it, Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze. So for all those reasons, there's more reason to be machmir on chametz and taruvas chametz more than anything else. Yeah. Okay, so that's all according to Rav. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel learns differently. Chametz bismanoi b'minei osur, shaloi b'minei mutter. No, what it is like this. Even bismanoi, even during Pesach itself, it'll only be asering only if it's mixed with minoi. But shaloi b'minoi, it'll be mutter if it's not nois in time. Shaloi bismanoi, and if it's outside of Pesach, ben b'minei, ben shaloi b'minei mutter, then it'll be mutter either way. So he's saying the opposite of Rab. Of the four possible cases, mino, she'ene mino, zmanoi, and eno zmanoi, Rab is machmir on three of the four of them. He's only meko when it's eno mino and la'acho zmanoi, and la'acho zmanoi, or whatever, shaloi bismanoi. And Shmuel is doing the other way around. He's only machmir when it's minoi and bismanoi. So that is Shmuel Taimei. So Shmuel again is going according to his own shita. The Rav or Shmuel da Amitavai. We just said Rav and Shmuel both said Kol Yisurin Shabbat Torah b'minoy asurim b'mashu. When it's b'minoy, then they aser if there's only a mashu. Shaloi b'minoy b'nois in tam. And if it's mixed shaloi b'minoy, then you need a larger amount. You need enough to be nois in tam. So therefore, so Shmuel would say shaloi b'minoy otu minon loy gozar. So he doesn't make a gzera that if it's mixed shaloi b'minoy that we might confuse it with minon. So therefore, he doesn't aser it when it's shaloi b'minoy. And shaloi b'zmanei ben b'zminon ben shaloi b'minoy mutarin. And when he says that it's mutar outside of zmanei, that would be kedub shimon. Unlike Rab, who we said holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel would hold like Rabbi Shimon that anyway, after Pesach or before Pesach, there's no isur lav on the chametz. Therefore, there's no reason to be machmir in any kind of taruvas chametz. So even if it's b'minoy, he says it can still be bottle. Then Rabbi Yochanan has a third opinion. Chometz bismanoi, when it's bismanoi, when it's doing Pesach, bein b'minoi, bein shaloi b'minoi, or osur, b'nois in tam, then whether it's mixed with minoi or enoi minoi, only if there's nois in tam is it osur. Shaloi bismanoi, when it's shaloi bismanoi, outside of Pesach, bein b'minon, bein shaloi b'minon, mutter. Then it would be mutter whether it's in minon or she'enei minon. So unlike Rav and Shmuel, who are distinguishing between minoi and she'enei minoi, Rabbi Yochanan is not making that distinction. He's just making a distinction between doing Pesach versus outside of Pesach. Chometz bismanoi, bein b'minon, bein shaloi b'minon, b'nois in tam, Rabbi Yochanan l'taimei. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that according to his own svara, the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to Ami Tavayo, because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both say the general rule is kol yisurin shabbat Torah bein b'minon bein shaloi b'minon b'nois in tam, whether they're mixed in with minon or enim minon, either way nois in tam shaloi bismanoi, and if on the other hand it's shaloi bismanoi bein b'minon bein shaloi b'minon motorin, again that would be kedub shimon. Again, Rabbi Yochanan would be going in that according to Rabbi Shimon that even la'achas man that after zmanoi the chometz is mutter. Rabbi Shimon had asked it because of a knas, and later on the Gemara is going to ask that why don't we apply the knas over here? But nevertheless, so far we're saying according to Rabbi Shimon that according to Rabbi Shimon there's no problem with it after Pesach. So even though there's a taruvas chometz, as long as it's not nois in tam, then you're good. So as far as yavish b'yavish, I mean this is all you know, nois in tam implies that we're talking about lach b'lach. But if we're talking about yavish b'yavish, then it's not nois in tam. So then you have other considerations. There's a couple of long simonim in Shulchan Aruch that deal with various aspects of these dinim, when it's mixed before Pesach, when it's mixed during Pesach, what kind of taruvas are also what kind of mutter, etc. They're rather complicated dinim. Actually, we'll touch on them a little bit more tomorrow, Best Hashem, at the end of the sugya, since especially we have a short Amud coming up, we should have a little time to be able to discuss some pratim of these dinim. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the maskana. We're worth mentioning. You know, they say when it comes to the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, we know there are huge parts of it missing, parts of Orach Chaim, almost the entire Yerideya of Eben Ezer. We haven't got a single simon. One of the big things in Yerideya, you have, as you mentioned before, Hilchos Taruvos. So we don't have Hilchos Taruvos in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. However, we do have in Hilchos Pesach a lot of the Alter Rebbe's Shita on Hilchos Taruvos. From that alone, you could extract a lot of what the Alter Rebbe would hold in the relevant simonim in Yeridah. Yeah. Okay. Shukayach, everyone, and we'll continue tomorrow with the rest of that discussion and then go on to a discussion of kashering kalim for Pesach. Shukayach, everyone.